Well, thankfully, we seem to be over the worst of it, but over the past few weeks, there's been a lot of concern, hasn't there, about petrol. Whenever anyone in our house has been making a journey, we've been asking each other, is there still petrol in the tank? Have we got enough petrol to make this journey? Is there somewhere we could get petrol on the way? All of a sudden, something we took pretty much for granted 90% of the time has been at the forefront of our minds, and I'm sure it has been for many of you as well. I was glad to see Jonathan and Iona made it back from their holiday. When I was talking to Jonathan, he was saying that they hadn't got a full tank and they were going up to Keswick. So very worried that you guys might not make it back. But I'm glad to see last week, I think it was, that you made it back. Well, this passage is asking a similar kind of question. But it's not asking whether you've got petrol in your tank to make a journey up to Keswick or wherever else. It's asking, have you got petrol in your tank to last until Jesus returns? Or to use the metaphor, which I'll explain later on, have you got oil in your lamp to last until Jesus returns? That is, have you got enough to see you right through life's journey so that you're still trusting in Jesus right at the very end? Well, Jesus has been talking about the end now for a couple of weeks for us, but it's been all one conversation for his disciples. He's told us, as Peter's already reminded us, that he is coming back, that he is going to set the world to right, that there is going to be a great division between those who trust in him and those who don't. And now he's asking his disciples, will you last to the end of the journey? Now, I guess as we gather this morning, some of us will be in completely different places in regard to that journey. Some of us aren't expecting Jesus to return at all. If he came back tomorrow, we'd be very surprised. Others of us are starting to worry. We're looking at the needle on our spiritual tank and we're wondering whether we'll make it to the very end. Others of us are confident, but we're only confident because we haven't got a clue how much we've got left in the tank. Well, let's look and see what Jesus has to say for us this morning that will see us through to the end of our journey. First of all, we see in this passage, and normally they're all attached to verses, but I think they kind of pull out from the whole text most of the time this morning, so forgive that for those of you making notes. The bridegroom is coming. Is there oil in your lamp? The bridegroom is coming. Is there oil in your lamp? Now, let me start by explaining this wedding, because it's very hard to get our heads around. It's very different, clearly, to the kind of wedding that we have in our country. Even commentators have had to struggle to piece together what happened at a wedding in those days, but some things seem to be clear. The bridegroom went from his house to the bride's house to kind of pick her up and ceremonially take her back. I don't know whether that was literal or not, but certainly to take her back home. And the virgins described here, think bridesmaids. I don't know why we don't use the word bridesmaids in this context. These bridesmaids, these virgins, are there to support the bride. And particularly, they're given these little oil lamps that they keep lit. The bridegroom will come at night to collect his bride. And so they will light the way to this house. And then they will go in a procession to his house with their lighted lamp. And then they will be allowed to enter into the party and have the great celebration that that bride has now left her mother and father's home and joined the groom's home. So it's really important that they have those oil lamps. I guess the closest equivalent for us today is that the bridesmaid needs to make sure she's brought her dress. She doesn't want the wedding car to arrive and she's still in her jeans and t-shirt. That's the idea here. Well, what's Jesus trying to get across with this metaphor? Well, firstly, we should bear in mind that it's a wedding that's being pictured here. And as I feel like I've said to you 1,000 times before, when the Bible describes a wedding, this was the highlight of anyone's life. You'd hardly ever get to eat meat. Here, they'd kill the fattened calf. People would be trying to break into weddings, which is why the groom was so cruel at keeping these women out. It was great food, great celebration, a great time of joy. It would go on for days. It wasn't just a short night of celebrations. This is an amazing event that you want to be a part of. Some of us maybe have been to those weddings where you're kind of the most random person that's been invited to the wedding and you're kind of watching your watch the whole time thinking, when will it be appropriate for me to slip away? That's not the picture here. It's a picture of somewhere you want to be. Think of a bridesmaid. When guys get asked to be ushers, they're like, all right, I'll do that if you want me to. But when a bridesmaid gets asked, oh, she's in floods of tears. It's the greatest privilege she's ever had. That's the picture here. And Jesus is the bridegroom. He is the one that it's all about. He is the one we're waiting for. He is the one that will return. And we're pictured as the bridesmaids in this picture, ready, prepared for him to arrive, or at least some, as we'll get onto later. So the question is, are we ready for his arrival? Are we expecting him to come? Our world says Jesus is not coming. We shouldn't expect it. And if that's the case, then you're going to live a certain way. You're going to live like this world is all there is. You're going to try and suck everything you can out of this life. But if Jesus is coming, then you'll be looking forward to a day beyond. A bride doesn't look forward to the time that she's waiting. She looks forward to her wedding day. The bridesmaids on the day of a wedding are anticipating that great service, that great reception. We too are supposed to be looking beyond this present age. What does it mean to be ready? I guess many of us could think that being ready means having sorted our life out, having got ourselves together. Right at the start of Matthew, Jesus made his message clear. He said, the kingdom is at hand. But before that, he said, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. The way you respond when you know that Jesus is coming soon is to ask forgiveness for your sin. It's not to get your life together. No, no one could do that. No one could be perfect. It's rather to accept the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ and trust in him alone for salvation. So the question as we think about this passage, considering whether you're ready, is not, have you been baptized yet? Did you come to faith a number of years ago? Are you living a good, moral, upright life? It's, have you repented and trusted in Jesus? The kingdom is at hand. The bridegroom is coming. Is there oil in your lamp? Next up, the wait is long. Is there oil in your lamp? What makes this ceremony quite unusual is the groom is quite late in coming. Now, we're not sure whether this was a frequent occurrence, a bit like the bride is always late getting to the church. Maybe in the Jewish culture it was the other way around. Often the groom would be late coming, I don't know. But certainly in verse 5 we're told the bridegroom was a long time in coming and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. By the way, that shows as false the idea that many people who aren't Christians say that in the New Testament era there was no sense that Jesus' coming was going to be delayed. Jesus and his disciples all expected that within a generation they'd be going up to heaven. Well, clearly Jesus is preparing his people for a long wait. He is the bridegroom that is taking a long time. I don't think that falling asleep is meant to be showing that they've kind of become drowsy in their spiritual life. We've got wise and foolish virgins here who've fallen asleep. So I think the point is, it's just been such a long time that they've ended up nodding off. He'd usually come around dusk time, but maybe it's 2 o'clock in the morning and he still hasn't come yet and they've fallen asleep. And that causes a problem for their lamps because their lamps are lit by oil and the oil has run out. Or to give a contemporary example, the battery's run out on the torch they're waiting for. Some of the bridesmaids had sensibly brought spare oil, knowing that there could be a delay, whereas others are not prepared. We need to be aware from this passage that the delay for us is going to be long. We're going to be waiting a long time till Jesus returns. Now, at the same time, we've got to bear in mind what we learned last week, that Jesus could come in 10 seconds' time. We need to be prepared for both. We need to be ready right now for Jesus' return, and we need to be ready that we might wait the whole of our lives, and both at the same time. Now, that long delay can cause different effects for different people. For some of us, it means that we face sufferings and trials and difficulties and persecutions that wear away at our trust in Jesus. Jesus told us earlier in the book that some people, because of persecution and suffering, will fall away. It could be that that impacts upon our perseverance. Or it could be that we have the opposite problem. life is so good, we've got so many things going on in this world, that they draw our attention. That we're focused on our career, our children, our marriage, all of these good things, but they've distracted us from the central thing. As Jesus said earlier in the book, there's people who hear the world, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the words. Many of you here this morning will think of yourselves and recognize you're in that camp. That you have forgotten that there's a long way and that you haven't lasted the journey. You may think, yes, at one time early in my life, I was excited about Jesus' return. I lived every day as if it could be my last. But now, he slots in here and there. And the delay makes that more likely. If you became a Christian and you were taken up to heaven straight away, there'd be no chance for the effect to wear off. But if we've got this long haul, it may well be that at times our oil runs out. The wait is long. Is there oil in your lamp? Next we see here, the fools are many. Is there oil in your lamp? As we start the chapter, it says, at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. Let's bear in mind what the bridesmaids represent. They are waiting for the bridegroom. So I don't think we're talking about people in the world who've never heard about Jesus, have no care for Jesus. These are people who are waiting for his return, expecting the royal wedding that is to come. And yet, of 10, 5 of them aren't in the wedding at the end. They started well. The problem was continuing to the end. What's that meant to show to us? It's meant to remind us that the fools are many. The people who fall away are not going to be some tiny minority. If you had a group of 10 people, I'm not saying Jesus is talking a statistical analysis, but theoretically speaking, of 10 people who profess to have faith in Christ, 5 of them may not be professing faith in Christ by the end. Their friends and family at the start may have said, yes, they're definitely Christians. People in church would have encouraged them and spurred them on in their good works. They're definitely Christians. Even they themselves would have been convinced that they were waiting for the Lord Jesus. But a day comes when the oil in their lamp runs out and it's apparent that they're not prepared for Jesus' return. Now, I suspect all of us have seen that at some level. Maybe you can think of a youth group growing up where there were 10 of you there. And many of those people haven't continued with the Lord. And it wasn't just the obvious ones, the ones that went out every Friday night straight after YP, getting involved in things that they shouldn't have done. No, sometimes the geek of the group, the one who knew their Bible back to front, the one who was helping out at Wheelers beforehand, the one who was there morning and evening every Sunday, the one who went off to university saying, I'm definitely going to get involved and see you. Even sometimes, those people don't last the distance. Maybe you could think of a Christianity Explored group. A group of people looking at Jesus. And again, it could be that the person who comes into the group already saying they have a Christian faith and responding really positively, they might not last the distance. Even whole churches. Some of you have been here for decades, and you can think of people whose empty seat is before you now, who should be here. And it's not because they've gone off to a different church, a different part of the country. It's because they walked away from the Lord. Even in this pulpit, even in pulpits across the land, those who've been tasked with preaching the word of God, these bridesmaids, have ended up having the lamp run out. So if the fools are many, we have all got to take seriously the question, is there oil in my lamp? If you're certain that there is, why are you certain? Are you certain because you come to church each week? There have been many before you who have done that. Are you certain because you're here with your family? All of your family are Christians. Well, notice that the virgins couldn't swap each other's oil. You can't get your mum and dad's oil. You can't get your best mate's oil. It's yours and yours alone. You might be confident because you're serving. I'm involved with this ministry and that ministry. My week is full of ministries. It's a fantastic thing, but the reality is that the only question that matters is, are you trusting Jesus? Not, did you say you were trusting Jesus one day 30 years ago? But right now, is he your only hope for salvation? That's what will keep you going till the day he returns. Not resolutions, not I'm going to sort it out this time. Not serving, not religious ritual, but trusting in Christ. I guess there might be some people here this morning who, when they look at themselves, they have to say, I have drifted. Maybe I used to come to church. I'm maybe here on a one-off this morning, or I've started to come back, but I have to acknowledge that I've been gone away for quite a long time. Or maybe you've kind of been dragged against your will, but you know that your heart is drifting further and further from him. Well, the solution to that is, first of all, to repent. To acknowledge to God that that is a sin that you need forgiving of. To cry out to Christ again that he would save you. To keep trusting him to the bitter end. But also praise God that you're here this morning. Because the very reason Jesus has let you hear this parable is because he's not intending on you being let go. He's calling out to you this morning to keep trusting in him right to the end. The fools are many. Is there oil in your lamp? Finally, the door will shut. Is there oil in your lamp? Verse 10. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. The door was shut. Inside are the great blessings of a wedding, the highlight of the community's life, the joy of seeing your best friend getting married, and the door is locked on you. Unsurprisingly, they try. Later, the others also came. Lord, Lord, open the door for us. Let us in. But he replied, truly I tell you, I don't know you. In these chapters, there's lots of pictures, lots of different word images of what it means to not be in the kingdom of God. And here we're given the picture of being on the outside of blessing. Trapped out of blessing. Having Jesus himself say, I don't know you. Those of you who know Matthew well might think of an occasion where he talked about this not in the way of metaphor, but literally what will happen on the last day. If you're quick at flicking, feel free to go to Matthew 7, where he says this, Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. This isn't people who just happen to turn up to church once or twice in their life. They're performing miracles. And yet on that last day, Jesus will say, I don't know you. And that is the picture here as well. But we might say, well, maybe there's a second chance. Some people say that after death, there is a second chance. Catholics talk about purgatory. This place of suffering, but where you kind of earn off your sins so that you're allowed to go to heaven. And then other people will talk about the fact that after you die, you'll be given one last chance to trust in Jesus or whatever. Well, it's very clear in this passage that's not the case. When these bridesmaids see the bridegroom coming, they realize they're out of oil. They go to the shops, they try to buy some, they go and bang on the door, but it's too late at that point. And that is to clearly testify to all of us that there is no second chance after we die. This life is purgatory, if you like. This life is the place to trust in Jesus. If you leave it till after you die, it's going to be too late. The door will be shut in your face. Now, we might feel that that's unfair. And certainly, the parable that we're talking about doesn't get across the sense of fairness. Jesus is trying to illustrate what it feels like for those bridesmaids. But the word is very clear. We all utterly deserve to be outside. And so if we have not trusted in the Lord Jesus, if he has not washed us of our sin, there is absolutely no way that we can demand the right to enter in. There's some of you here this morning who hope you'll get to be on the inside, but you don't know. Don't leave this morning in that state of uncertainty. You can be certain you're going in if you repent and trust in the Lord Jesus. Come to him this morning. Trust in him for the forgiveness of your sin. And that door will be flung open wide on that last day. We started this sermon by talking about the fuel crisis, didn't we? How many times over the past few weeks have you driven past someone on the M6, stranded on the side of the road, up in the embankment, and you've thought, what utter fools, why didn't they check their petrol before they left? Well, as Christians, and many of you here will testify to this, we've seen far too many people start their Christian lives bombing it at 70 miles an hour, only to run out of fumes before the end. Friends of ours, family members of ours, people we looked up to in the faith, people that we felt like we had a responsibility for in the faith, person after person who has not lasted the distance. Please don't leave this morning without your petrol tank full of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he is the only fuel that will let you last the journey. Please accept the key that will open the door to eternal life so that it will never be shut in your face. Please accept the one who clothes you in his righteous garments so that you are prepared for the wedding day. Please trust in Jesus, because only in doing that can you be saved. And then for the rest of us, let's make sure we're with Jesus for the long haul. Let's make sure we're doing what we need to do to receive his grace regularly, to keep ourselves attached to him for the way ahead. Let's make sure that we're gathering with people who will encourage us, who will fill up our oil lamp, as it were, by pointing us to God's word, by pointing us to the Lord Jesus. Let's make sure that we're trimming our lamps at home, looking at the Lord Jesus Christ, renewing our faith in him, confessing our sin, and turning to him for our salvation as a daily basis to turn away from sin and turn back to God's. Let's do whatever we can to keep that oil of God's lamp shining in our hearts. And of course, if we're doing that, it's not we who are preparing ourselves, it's the Lord Jesus drawing us in, making sure we last that journey. If you trust in Jesus alone, you will be there on that wedding day. The door will be wide open. You'll be welcomed into the happiest place in all eternity. Let's make sure we keep going on that journey so that we can arrive with him on that last day.